far as her youngest daughter, she's now 18 and a half, and 2 years ago, it seems like she was truly saved. And before that time, there was many times where she would come asking for help. She was under conviction of sin. She was desperate. She was crying, and she wanted us to talk with her. And she would repent of her sins as thoroughly as you could expect. And it seemed like, there was some real genuineness there, some depth there. But she never could close with Christ. She never could. After we got done talking with her this one time, we said, "Well, Evangeline, you should tell this to the Lord, what you've told us. You pray, you confess these things to the Lord." And so so she would repent of her sins, and she had the position, the attitude that she was all done with sin, but she could never believe on Jesus, that he died for her sins. And so, we would exhort her, and she would say, "Well, in prayer, God, I believe you died for my sins." And we said, "No, you got to get this right. God sent his son to die to pay the sin debt for sinners." And so then she would say, "Well, Jesus, I believe you died." And then we'd say, "Well, do you believe he died for your sins?" And then she would say, "Well, God, I believe you died for my sins." "No. Can you say that you believe Jesus died to pay your sin debt?" And she could not get that out. She couldn't break through. And there was a wall there. We wonder if it was a demonic obstruction, And so time went on, like I say, about 2 years, until at the Heart Cry Conference, God came in some measure of power, and people were being dealt with, and it was there that she broke through. And it was just like she was brought to the end of herself. She was desperate, and she just, it was like opening of the floodgate, and she just poured it all out. She was able to close with Christ and indeed believe that he did die to pay her sin debt. She just was, and she really came to the end of herself there, and she acknowledged that afterward. She told us, "Dad, Mom, really, I was stubborn all the way. That's what the problem was. She just really wasn't willing to go way through and give up herself, her life, and hand her life over to Christ." And so she was just using that as a little opportunity for resistance. It's like, sometimes things can seem so difficult, so complicated in dealing with a soul, but really it's just a facade. It's just, the Lord has made it so simple. It's very deep, but it's very simple. And, in her case, she was just not really, really willing to give up on self and follow the Lord. And it's really amazing, this thing of denying whether or not, this position of optional repentance is amazing, and how widespread it is. One time, Terry and I went to visit a friend in another town, and we sat down on his couch, and I said, and he was telling me about what church he went to, I said, "Does your pastor teach that repentance is necessary for salvation?" "Oh, yes." And I just happened to look down beside the couch, and here was a basket full of newspapers, the Sword of the Lord. And the main editor, Curtis Hudson, here he had a front page article, "Repentance is not optional for salvation. Repentance is not necessary for salvation." Well, look at that. What's that? Repentance is not necessary for salvation. It's incredible what is being taught out there. And so it's no wonder the churches, so-called churches, are in such a mess. Now, Charles Stanley, for example, he came out with an article in his magazine, the In Touch magazine, and he did say repentance is necessary for salvation, but he redefined repentance, just to merely mean a change from faith in self to faith in Christ. Like he said, that it would be wrong to tell the drunkard that he must be willing to give up his drunkenness to become a Christian. He says that's for after you become a Christian. That's for some kind of a second stage or something. And I would agree, it's wrong to tell the drunkard he's got to have victory over his drunkenness to become a Christian. That would be wrong. But indeed, if that is a pet sin, an idle sin, it's very right to tell him, "Are you willing to give up your drunkenness to follow Christ?" a person must come to the place where he's saying, Lord, I'm all done with self and sin and society standards and smiles, and I'm turning my back on it. I want to follow you from here on out. And, you know, sometimes on this matter of repentance, whether it's optional or not, you know, we're not talking about, again, not talking about having victory over fornication or drunkenness or something like that, but nevertheless, the question is, am I willing to turn from that? And the classic example is the rich young ruler. You know, the Lord put his finger right on that sore spot and right on that nerve, and if you want to follow me, you turn your back on the covetousness, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And so the Lord gave us really a powerful precedent there as far as this matter of repentance. You know, it's sometimes repentance is such a big theme in the Bible, it's sometimes almost put, you know, sometimes it's put there as interchangeable with faith. Like, for example, Acts 2:38, you know, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. Doesn't even mention faith. And a lot of times that comes up, like in the book of Acts. But that's part of our great part of the message, a big part of our message. You know, Paul sums up his preaching, and he says in Acts 20:21, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He sums up his preaching with those two elements. And in the Great Commission, accounted in the book of Luke, he says, go into all the nations and preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. Repentance, that is, a turning from sin and putting your trust in Christ that he died for your sins. Well, he begins to hate it. He begins to fight against it. And eventually, you know, it will. If he's regenerate, it will fall off. It'll weaken and weaken. Sometimes, you know, victory over a sin like that can happen immediately. And God just heals him of it right away. Yeah. But sometimes there is a process of the soul is being strengthened, and just it just kind of fades away and drops off eventually. If it doesn't drop off, then you know he was not truly regenerate.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at IllBeHonest.com.